God the Father planned salvation. God the Son accomplished salvation. God the Holy Spirit, He applies salvation. He changes our lives. He makes us different people. Not to us, but to your name
be the glory. Thank you for joining us on Truth That Changes Lives. Pastor J.P. Jones is the senior pastor of Crossline Community Church in Laguna Hills, California, and a professor in biblical studies at Biola University. Today on Truth That Changes Lives, Pastor J.P. will be giving us a message from a series entitled Believe. Let's listen in as J.P. gives part two of Spirit of the Living God.
Acts 1:8 says this. Jesus is talking. I know that because it's in red in my Bible. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus says that there's going to be power from this Holy Spirit experience. This experience with the Holy Spirit is going to change your life. The word here for power, there's a lot of Greek words for power. This word is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite or dynamo. The Holy Spirit is a never-ending source of dynamic power for a purpose, to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. God's called us for a purpose. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for this church. It's to be witnesses. And notice it's not to go out witnessing. Nothing wrong with that. It's great if you go out witnessing, but that's not really what this says. It's to be witnesses. Yesterday, I was talking with my son. It's great having him home from college, and he was, he got up at the crack of 11:30 in the afternoon. So he's sitting at the kitchen table, and I'm talking to him, and I was sharing with him some things that I just was praying about that morning and studying in my quiet time, and I said, you know, Taylor, one of the things I was really praying about this morning for you is that I would really, as a dad, help you understand that it's not about serving God, the Christian life. It's about worshiping God and loving God. And he goes, well, I know that. I know you know that, but you know, you're the son of a pastor and a pastorette. And we talk a lot about serving God and ministry and our plans for the church and what God's doing and mission trips and stuff we do. And I just don't want you to think that's what the Christian life is. It's about being before it's about doing. Here in Acts 1:8, Jesus says that we will receive power from the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. In other words, when you got the real disease, guess what? You're contagious. And it's the Holy Spirit who imparts the life of Christ within us, making us witnesses. Acts 2:1-4, it says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The day of Pentecost was a festival. It was one of the celebrations in the Jewish religion. It still is. When we were in Israel, they were celebrating Pentecost right as we were about to leave. We were up in the Sea of Galilee area when the Pentecost celebration came about. In Hebrew, it's Shavuot. And it's the celebration of the first fruits coming in from the harvest. And it's 50 days after the Passover. And so the Greek Pentecost plays off of that 50 days idea. So 50 days after Passover, after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, after the ascension of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is poured out in the fulfillment of the Hebrew scriptures, in the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus. And on that one day, thousands of people heard the message because there was a purpose in this giving of the Holy Spirit. It was the fulfillment of this prophecy of the new covenant, and it was a fulfillment of Jesus' promise to have power to be witnesses, because what took place is those disciples, as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were able to proclaim the message of God in languages that they'd never heard. And what they said as they were filled with the Spirit and proclaimed this message was the very gospel of Jesus Christ. And on that one day, people from all over the then known world who'd gathered together in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, heard the message of Jesus Christ, and the church was born. The church was established on that one day from people from every tribe, tongue, and language, because God gave them the supernatural ability to proclaim the message of Jesus in languages they'd never heard. The Holy Spirit, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, will enable us to do things we couldn't do outside of the Spirit's power. Did you know that? When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can do things you would not be able to do apart from the Spirit's work in your life. This word filled is a word that's used all throughout the book of Acts. It's part of the command in Ephesians 5:18, where it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." It's a command. Every believer in Jesus Christ is commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The verb to be filled is the verb plerao, and it's used sometimes to talk about filling up a cup with some kind of liquid, with water or with wine. It's used to describe a sail on a ship as the wind fills the sail, and as a result, it's carried around on the water. It's used to describe the personality to be filled with some kind of emotion, like a joy or anger or rage or love. So when it talks about being filled with the Spirit in the Bible, it means to be directed by the Spirit, influenced by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. And the New Testament gives all these various ministries of what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit leads us and He guides us. He helps us in our prayer life. He guides us into the truth. He fills us. He helps us resist sin. He gives us spiritual gifts. I mean, there's a whole list of ministries that the Holy Spirit gives, but the term that is most comprehensive to describe His work in our lives is this term being filled with the Spirit, because it implies that you are not controlling your own life, but you've surrendered your life to God, and you're living in the fullness of God in your life, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And when God's got a hold of your life, He can do what He desires to do in your life. But see, if God doesn't have a hold of your life, He can't do what He desires to do. On this day, the day of Pentecost, they prayed. They'd been praying for 10 days, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they weren't able to speak with languages that they hadn't learned, and they were able to proclaim the mighty deeds of God. Acts 2, 17 and 18, Peter, in the midst of a message that he's given on this very day of Pentecost, quotes the scriptures, and he says this in Acts 2, 17 and 18, quoting from the book of Joel, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Here's a scripture that God promises that is coming to fulfillment in the last days. You know when the last days are? The last days began when Jesus Christ was born. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. And God says that in those last days, there will be a new work, a pouring out of my Spirit upon all people, upon men and women, upon the young and the old. And they will dream dreams, and they will have visions, and they will speak prophetic words. What kind of dreams are you dreaming? What kind of visions do you have? What kind of words are God giving you to speak? That's not stuff to be afraid of. That's not stuff to kind of theologically put into a compartment and say doesn't exist anymore. That's a promise from God. We should expect the Holy Spirit to be moving in our lives personally, the Holy Spirit to be moving in our church, the Holy Spirit to be moving in our world, to be doing new things, fresh things, powerful things, because we're living in the last days, and God's promised that that's what He's going to do. Acts 2, 38, Peter, kind of coming to the close of this sermon that he gives here on the day of Pentecost, says this. I'll start in verse 36. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said, "Peter," and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because this promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, and for all whom the Lord God will call." The gift of the Holy Spirit is given at the moment of salvation. And if you're here this morning and you don't have the certainty that you have a relationship with God, this morning, You can call on the Lord and believe in Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit this morning, right here. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to all who call on the Lord. It is the sign, the seal, the confirmation that we have new life in Jesus Christ. I remember several years ago, my youngest daughter, I was putting her to bed and we were praying and I'm reading out of the, you know, children's Bible. And she said, "Dad, I have a question." I said, "Yeah, what is it, Ashton?" And she said, "How can Jesus be in heaven and in my heart at the same time?" That's about how long I was thinking to try to come up with an answer to the question. It's a childlike question, but it's very profound, isn't it? See, in her mind, very concrete, developmentally as a child, she was trying to picture how a little miniature Jesus could somehow be in her heart. Now, there's a sense we need to come to God like children, because that's what Jesus said. But we also understand that there are truths that the most learned theologian can't fully comprehend. That doesn't make them not true. It just means it's beyond our human ability to fully understand. The Bible says that God is spirit, and his spirit comes into your life when you believe in him. And God is not limited. His spirit is not limited. So God can live in the hearts and lives of every person here at the same time, and the lives of every person who call out to him around the world at the same time. This past week, God came to live in the hearts of 129 children. And today he can come and live in your heart if you don't know him. If you just ask him, and he lives in your heart, in my heart, by means of his spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us. He's the gift. In Acts chapter 4, continuing on, it says this in Acts 4, verse 8. Peter is confronted because of a miracle that took place in the healing of a lame man. And it created quite a stir. In fact, many people wanted to find out how this miracle happened. And so they gathered together and they asked Peter. And Peter told them it was because of what Jesus Christ had done. In Acts 4, 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and we're asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.'" Wow, Peter boldly preaches the gospel to these people who'd gathered together and to these religious leaders. Now, this is the same guy, remember, who when Jesus was being delivered up to trial and some servant girl heard him speak and looked at him and said, "Hey, you're one of his friends, aren't you? Aren't you one of Jesus' friends?" This is the same guy who cursed and yelled at her, "I don't know the man," and then ran away and wept because he denied the Lord. Well, what was the difference? Don't miss the simplicity. Acts 4, 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said," you may feel like you're the weakest Christian in this gathering. You may feel like you're the most timid follower of Jesus Christ. You may feel like you're the most unworthy representative of Jesus. But filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be a bold witness for Christ. Filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be a bold witness for Christ. You see, these scriptures, and my gosh, I got a list, because that's this past week I went through the whole book of Acts and studied every reference to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. I got 2 pages full of notes. I'm going to stop there, and I'm not going to preach for the next 5 hours. But do you get the point? God the Father planned salvation. God the Son accomplished salvation. God the Holy Spirit, he applies salvation. He changes our lives. He makes us different people. I got here, and you know, you've probably seen variations of this. Just a little water, some tea. You probably made some iced tea this summer. When I put that T in there, you know, there's an initial response. You can kind of see it taking effect. As soon as I stir it up, voila, I'm the great Kreskin. I've turned water into iced tea. The tea, you see, it has an impact on the water. Initially, it has an impact, but as you stir it up, it transforms it completely. The moment we cross the line and come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and he makes an initial difference within our lives. God's life is within us. But as we surrender to him, and as we obey him, and as we walk with him, he completely transforms our lives. It's the most exciting adventure you will ever commit yourself to. The adventure of following Jesus Christ every day by making a full surrender of your life to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this in John 7, 37 to 39. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This Jesus spoke of the Spirit whom he had not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus gives this great invitation to an overflowing life, which the Bible describes is produced by the Holy Spirit. And he says, you got to be thirsty and you got to come to me and you got to believe in me. And if you do that, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water, which the Holy Spirit will produce in your life. So there's three questions we got to ask ourselves. Am I thirsty? Am I willing to come to Jesus? And will I believe Jesus and his words? See, if you're thirsty and you come to Jesus and you believe Jesus and his words, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water produced by the Holy Spirit. Produced by the Holy Spirit. Every one of us here is on some kind of a spiritual journey. Some of us, we need to say yes to Jesus Christ for the very first time. Others of us, we need to make a total surrender of our lives to the Holy Spirit. And some of us, we need to fine-tune a commitment we've already made and surrender a particular area of our life to the Holy Spirit.
What a great message for all of us today. Pastor JP provides us with great insight. That is why we'd like to make it available to you on CD. Just get in touch and mention today's date. We'll send it your way for just $5. Or if you'd like to support this ministry, you can write us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or give us a call at 949-916-0250. That's 949-916-0250. For your gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed copy of JP's new book, Facing Goliath. Please join us every Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. at Crossline Church in Laguna Hills. The address is 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or check us out on the web at crosslinechurch.com. We're going to get to the address and phone number again in a moment, but before we do that, Pastor JP, do you have any insight from today's message?
Thanks, Greg. We're in a series talking about what we believe and the power of biblical beliefs. You see, what we believe matters. What we believe about God and truth and Jesus. And this morning, what we're talking about is what we believe about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to us. He's the sign and seal of the new covenant. He's the third person of the Trinity, and he actually indwells us as believers in Jesus Christ. In fact, the New Testament teaches that there are two aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. There's what the Holy Spirit does at the moment of salvation, and then there's what the Holy Spirit does throughout the Christian experience. At salvation, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells us. He regenerates us. He gives us new spiritual life. He seals us. He marks us out as God's possession. And he baptizes us. He places us into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is in the life of every believer permanently. He indwells, seals, regenerates, and baptizes every believer in Jesus Christ. That's what he does at salvation. Throughout the Christian life, the Holy Spirit conforms us and guides us in a process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And he does that primarily in three ways. In one way, he gives us victory over the flesh. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." The Holy Spirit empowers us to resist sin and to choose righteousness. Secondly, the Holy Spirit produces spiritual fruit within us. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." The Holy Spirit gives us the very character of Jesus. And thirdly, what the Holy Spirit does throughout our Christian experience is He empowers us to be bold witnesses for Christ. Acts 1:8 says this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who reproduces the very life of Jesus Christ within us, giving us spiritual victory, producing spiritual fruit, and empowering us to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Every one of us is on a spiritual journey. If we have not yet given our lives to Christ, we need to cross the line and believe in Jesus, and God will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those of us who have crossed the line and are following Jesus, we need to every day surrender to the Holy Spirit. We need to obey His guidance. We need to, by the Spirit, put to death the misdeeds of the body, and we will live, as Romans 8:13 says. We need to, in obedience to the Spirit, experience His love and joy and peace, the very fruit of the life of Jesus within us, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to give us confidence, and to enable us to boldly share the gospel with others. Let me ask you a question. Where are you right now in your spiritual journey? You see, wherever you are, your next step needs to be a step towards Jesus Christ, and the one who enables you to make that step is the Holy Spirit. Would you consider giving full surrender of your life to the Spirit's control and empowerment? Would you ask the Holy Spirit to give you victory over the flesh? Would you ask the Holy Spirit to produce His fruit in your life? Would you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you so that you might be a bold witness for Jesus? That's God's desire for you. That's God's potential for you because the Holy Spirit actually lives inside of you. Jesus said this in John chapter 7, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." This Jesus spoke about the Spirit whom he had not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The overflowing Christian life is produced by the Holy Spirit. Would you ask God to give you that life today? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you that you live inside of me because of my faith in Jesus. Take control of my mind, my heart, my words, my life. Give me victory. Give me fruit and give me boldness to be a witness for Christ. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Please get in touch with us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or call us at 949-916-0250. On the internet, you will find us at crosslinechurch.com. We hope to see you at one of our services every Sunday at our new campus in Laguna Hills. For more information and directions, please go to crosslinechurch.com. Please join us next time on Truth That Changes Lives.
The cross before, the world behind. No turning back, raise the banner high. It's not for me.